tell you what, when you serve God, life is not dull. It's always exciting. And I want to begin something with you tonight. I want to start talking about the working of faith. And we're just going to look at some different stories in the gospel where people received what they needed by faith. And we're going to see kind of what they did. We're kind of going to look into that. Amen? How many know that if you practice what you see in the Word, you can have what the Word promised? Amen? And God will never let you down. God is a faithful God. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. John chapter 4. And we're going to we'll begin with verse 46. This is about the royal official's son. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman or official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard, underline that phrase, heard. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee. So he had heard that Jesus was in one place, and then he came to where he was. Okay? That's important. And when he heard this, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Aren't you glad that when you're facing trouble, you know where to go for the answer? Okay? Verse 48. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Now, he wasn't speaking this to the man necessarily, but he was speaking to the Galileans or to the people of that area. All right? And they had... They weren't going to believe unless they saw something. Then verse 49 says, the nobleman said unto him, sir, come down before my child die. Jesus said unto him, go your way, your son lives. And the man believed the word, underline believed the word, that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend or to get better. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, or around 1 p.m., the fever had left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him. Notice it was the same hour that Jesus spoke that the healing took place. Your son lives, and himself believed, and his whole house, underline his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. So this was his second miracle that he did. All right? Now this man, maybe this man attended the wedding in Cana. Maybe he was there and he saw Jesus turn the water into wine. Maybe he was one of the participants that got to taste the wine. How else would he know? Because there was an urgency about him. As soon as he heard, he went. He heard And he went. He went to Jesus. You could say he went to the Word. Oh. So, the moment he heard that Jesus was in his area, he didn't hesitate, he didn't delay, he went right to Jesus. You know, when you're having a problem in your life, no matter what it is, go to Jesus. You know, my pastor in Illinois used to tell me, stay by the spout where the glory comes out. If you're thirsty, how would you quench your thirst? Would you have pictures of water around you? You know? No, you would go to the source. You would go to where that you're going to get water to quench the thirst. Notice this man didn't call his friends and his neighbors. He heard of Jesus, and he went right to Jesus. He heard that Jesus was going to be here, so he says, I'm going there. Okay? So his focus was on Jesus. And he must have known that Jesus had cured people, otherwise he wouldn't waste his time asking him to come and heal. Now, he wanted him to come to where he was. Maybe he didn't understand the great expanse of God's power, that it doesn't matter, that Jesus doesn't have to be in the same locale, because the Bible says in Psalm 107:20, he says, I sent my word and healed him. Do you know that wherever God sends his word, wherever it is spoken, it will accomplish what he set it to do? I think it's Isaiah 50, it says, or 55, it says that his word will never return void unto him. In other words, every word that God speaks is not void of power. It's not vain. It's active. It's powerful. And where God sends it, things are going to happen. And if you want the word to do something in you, you've got to hook up with faith. You've got to believe it. You've got to act on it. Okay? We know that this man believed, because he came to Jesus. He was very specific about what he needed. As a father, he had compassion on his son. I want you to go back in chapter 4. And I want you to look at verse 39. Okay, we're going to get back to that story, but I want you to take a look at this for a minute. This was after the woman at the well had talked with Jesus, and she went back into the city where she was from. And verse 39 says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. That woman had some influence in that city. How did they believe? What was their belief based on? Come on, talk with me. What the woman said, right? She told them about Jesus. She told them about what he did for her. She testified that a man took, come and hear a man who told me everything about my life. And they were like, okay, let's go hear. Imagine that. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, who did they come to? They came to him. They besought him. What does to besought mean? It means to seek him out. What's going to happen when you seek? You're going to find. Well, how come I'm just not blessed like brother so-and-so? Have you spent as much time seeking as brother so-and-so has sought? You can never judge the blessing that someone gets unless you know what it cost them to get it. Don't ever judge someone by what they have unless you know what they've given. I watched a program one time, and Creflo Dollar was testifying how many cars how many houses and how many planes that he gave away and what he has now. You can never judge someone by what they have unless you know what they've given. You can never judge someone unless you know what it cost them to get it. So this many, okay, so they came to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. So they had a 2-day revival. And verse 41, many more believed because of his own word. What miracle did he perform in Samaria? He talked with a woman at a well, and he told her some things about her life that only the people who knew her would have known, but the Spirit revealed it to him to help her. She went and told the group of people. The group of people came out, and they believed. They said, this is so good. I want you to stay here for 2 days. So many more believed on the saying of his word. He didn't perform a miracle, but he spoke the word. And that was enough evidence for them to put their trust in. In verse 42, and they said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of your saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. All he did was talk about the word, and that was enough for them to believe. All right? Let's go back to the other story of the nobleman's son. Do you need a miracle to convince you that God is real or that God is able? You know, miracles are great when they come, but the Bible never said the just shall live by miracles. What did it say? The just shall live by what? Faith. Now, if you're walking by faith, miracles will happen, and miracles are great, but miracles are not designed to keep you. Miracles are designed to rescue you. Miracles are like the fire department. When your house is on fire, you call up the fire department, and they come and put the fire out. Or a miracle is like an EMT. It comes and it brings you to the hospital. It rescues you. But you're not designed to live by miracles. You're designed to live by faith. And your faith should be in the Word of God and nothing else. It shouldn't be in people's opinion. It shouldn't be in your feelings. It shouldn't be in your emotions. It shouldn't be what others say. It should strictly and solely be in the Word of God. Do you see that? This is going to be good. Amen? Go with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. What happens when you hear the word of God? Look at verse 17. What happens when you hear the word of God? Faith comes by what? Hearing and what? Hearing what? The word of God. Why did he say hearing and hearing? Notice he didn't say faith comes by having heard. Pastor, how come you keep telling the same stuff over and over? Because faith comes by what? Hearing. Just because I use the same scripture today as I used another day doesn't mean that there's not faith coming when you hear it. Besides, we learn by repetition. You know, I mean, there are times when you get it the first time you hear it, but there are times that you got to hear and hear and hear before it sinks in. Because some of our heads are harder than others. And it takes a while for it to seep in, you know. It's got to, just think about this for a minute. The word's got to get past your experience. It's got to get past your feeling. Sometimes the word's got to get past your past. It's got to get past your feelings of unworthiness. It's got to get past your unforgiveness. Sometimes the word has got to go through some things before it gets into your heart. That's why he says faith comes by hearing, and hearing specifically the word of God. Faith doesn't come through gossip. Faith doesn't come through the television unless they're preaching the word of God. It comes by hearing the word. Jesus simply gave the word to the Samaritans. Now, this nobleman, he wanted Jesus to come. And Jesus was willing. But you know what? Jesus performed a miracle in a way that this nobleman did not expect. He did not expect for Jesus to simply say the word and it be done. He was not on that level. The nobleman was not on the level of the centurion. Did you know that each one of us can be on a different level of faith? We're not all on the same level. That's why we got to make allowances for people. You know, I can't say, how come you're not getting it? I can't say to Elliot, how come you're not getting it? Why can't you get it? That would be wrong for me to do, because we're all on different levels. That's why in a service, sometimes we can't get too specific. We touch here, because we're getting people on all different levels. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we're talking about something that's really deep, but for someone who knows it, it's not so deep because they're on a different level. But for someone who's not on that level, it's like, wow, I've never heard this before. Pastor Fiona was teaching in a Bible study, and she brought out this point that the tree in the garden was like the tithe. Because God told Adam, don't eat of it. Because when you do, you'll be cursed. Just like the tithe, isn't it? They never heard that before. The group of people that she was sharing that with had never heard that before. So for them, it was like, wow. And she was telling me, you know, light bulbs were coming on. Boop, 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 you know. That's why I like a refrigerator. You open the door and the light comes on. You know, that's how Christians ought to be. We open the door to your heart and the light ought to come on. Amen? Go with me to Romans chapter 1. What are we talking about? We're talking about what happens when the word, when you hear the word of God. Faith comes. Look at number 16, Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed. What aren't you ashamed of? You shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. What's the gospel? The message. The message of Christ. The good news. Say, the gospel is good news. So if it's good news, we have nothing to be ashamed about. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? For it is the power of God. Okay, the gospel has the power in it. But how do you get the power from the gospel operating in you? To them that believe. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to them that believe. Those who believe gain access to the power that's contained in the gospel. Where's the power at? It's in the gospel. It's in the message. It's all about Christ. That's where the power is. His name is above how many names? Every name. All names. So, He's got the power. But how do I get the power that's in the gospel to me? You believe. What do you believe? You believe the message, the gospel, the truth, the word of God. You don't get the power by saying, what do you think? Or how about you? What do you think? Or what do you think? You're not going to get any power because you might get three different opinions. What does the word say? You know, I used to annoy people. Because we'd be sitting out for coffee back when I lived in Illinois. And people would say, well, I'm believing God to do this. And I would say, what scripture are you standing on? And they'd be like, what? Huh? What are you talking about? So I kept doing that. Little did I know that God was training me. As I look back now, I see how God was training me to help people find out what belongs to them and how to appropriate it in their life. That gift was coming out of me before I even knew what was happening. So I would annoy people. They'd be like, what scripture stand on? What do you mean, what scripture? Well, it's the Bible that tells you what's yours. If you don't have a scripture, what's your faith in? Oh, because you're going to do it because Brother Les did it. Well, then your faith is in what Brother Les did, not in the Word. If you try to do what Brother Les did, you might fail. Because you're not to put your faith in what Brother Les did. You're to put your faith in the Word of God. Well, I'm doing it because the pastor said it. Well, yeah, but what if the pastor said something that's not in the Word? You still going to do it? You know, Paul, he said something about the Bereans. The Bereans were a group of people. He went to Berea, started a church. He commended the Bereans because he said, you search out the scriptures daily to see if what I'm saying is so. Don't take my word for it as the final authority. Did you know that even though the Holy Spirit is moving, it might get mixed up coming out of me? If you've been around me, you probably heard me mess up a word or two now and then. But you've got to look into the scripture to see if what I'm saying is so. And you could disagree with me all you want, but if you're disagreeing with the word, then you got a problem. There's not going to be any power available to you because the power is in the word. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God for what? For salvation. You know what that word salvation means? The whole enchilada. It means wholeness in every area of life. It's the Zoe, the God kind of life. It's everything, healing, deliverance, peace, joy. It's the total package. When God talks about salvation, he's talking about the whole pizza pie. The whole 18-incher. So Paul, he said, I'm not ashamed. He wasn't ashamed of the message of Christ. Why? It is the power of God. To who? To everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So if a Jew believes, they're going to have power released to them. Did you know that there's a lot of Jews that don't believe in Christ yet? Because they're waiting for, they're like those people from Galilee, they got to see. Jesus told the nobleman, you have to see a sign in order for you to believe. Maybe Thomas was from Galilee. Because he said, I'm not going to believe until I see. Maybe he was from Galilee, I don't know. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're talking about the working of faith. And we're seeing how this nobleman, he came to Jesus. He came to the Word because his son needed to be cured. You know, he was a nobleman. He had money. He probably had a doctor at the house. He probably had a personal physician. And the doctors probably wrote his boy off. He said, I'm sorry, there's nothing else we can do. But the nobleman didn't accept that. He said, no, there's something else that someone can do. He went to the source. Went right to Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause or reason, also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. That is powerful. Why was Paul thanking God? Because the Thessalonians, whose name your tongue can get very messed up on, if you say it enough times. He was thanking God because they received his message not as it originates of a man, but as it is the word of God. And because they believed it, it was effectually working in them because their belief activated the power that was in the message. In other words, when they heard the message, they said, "That's mine." They didn't debate it. They didn't reason about it. They just simply trusted it. Say, "I'm healed." Do you really believe that? Healing belongs to us. Did Jesus try to give the nobleman a reason why he shouldn't have his son healed? Did Jesus say, "No, you're going to have to wait a couple days. I'm sorry, my appointment book is too full. I can't get you in today." Did Jesus ever do that to anybody who ever came to him? No. Problem is, we go to too many other places before we go to Jesus. Too many times we go to Jesus as a last resort. You know, the house is on fire, and now you got to call the fire department, where you could have just used a fire extinguisher. But you let it get out of control, and now you're in trouble. Too many times we use God as a last resort. And, you know, he'll work with that. He's a very present help in trouble. But at some point, you've got to live and walk by faith. You've got to grow up in the Lord. So he was commending the Thessalonians because they received the word of God as it is the word of God. And because they did that, it was effectually working in them. How many knows that when the word of God is working in you, it's effective? In other words, it produces what it's designed to produce. The word of God never has a misfire. You don't have to do spell check on the word of God. Okay? Because it's the truth. It's complete. It's the word of God. Do you realize that the words that are in this book are holding the universe together? Did you realize that you were created because God spoke words and you came into being and he breathed the breath of life into you? This is what the word of God that we're talking about. And God wants, why do you think he gave us the word? Why do you think he had people write it down? So that if we had a question about it, we can always go back and look it up. Is there any area in the Word that, in life, that the Word of God doesn't cover? You know, when a problem arises in your life, God says, "Oh man, I knew I forgot to write that down in the recipe." No, that's not the case. God didn't forget anything in his word. And there is power in the word. But you have to access that power through your belief in the word. And the word alone. The word of God is the only substance on earth that produces faith. There is nothing in this world that will produce faith. Only the word of God. All right? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I got stuck on that part of the nobleman's story, having heard of Jesus, he went to where Jesus was. You know what? I think that ought to happen in Palmyra. You know, I hear that the word of God goes forth at that Victory Christian Fellowship. I'm going to go and hear it. Amen? People need to hear what's taught here. Not because I'm so eloquent and so great, because of the power of the message. It's not about the messenger, it's about the message. I'm just like the pizza delivery boy. I just bring it to your doorstep, you know, within 30 minutes. A fresh baked manna pizza. Manna pizza. First Peter chapter 2. Oh, it's kind of a different flow here tonight. God is good. And verse 1. I want you to see something here. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and evil speaking. In other words, he's telling us when he says lay aside, that means get the junk out of the way. Take it to the curb and let the trash, don't try to save it, don't try to hold on to it. How are you going to lay aside all this stuff? He gives us a very simple thing. As newborn babes, desire. What are you supposed to desire? The sincere milk of the word. My Bible says pure spiritual word. Ooh, nothing like hardcore word. Just give me a book. See, when you desire the sincere milk of the word, you know, milk does the body good. When you start drinking your milk, it gets rid of malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies. If you want to replace the stuff, you got to put something good in its place. I like what my friend from Tennessee said. He said, the word of God is like Drano. God pours it in, he flushes all that crap out. You know, funny, we had the same reaction in Tennessee, too, when he said that. And, you know, it's funny how you remember things, how certain things. So if you want to lay aside all the malice and the guile and the hypocrisies and envies, you're going to have to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. See, when you have a desire for the word, you can tell it's working in you by your growth. If you're not growing in the Lord, you've lost your desire for the word. I have seen people over the last 7 years lose their desire for the word. Something comes in its place. They desire other things in place of the word. And you look at them and they're the same 5 years down the way than they are today because they lost their desire and they're not growing in the Lord. When you stop growing in the Lord, there's a problem. God did not design you to stay as a baby. Because when a baby drinks milk, what's going to happen to that baby? Gabriel used to drink milk. Now he walks and talks and runs and he eats a whole lot of other things. And we know when he's having a growth spurt, because when he's hungry, he's growing. He just came to me today and he said, Dad, another pair of pants are like up to his knees. I'm like, man, you're growing. I'm having fun watching him grow. It's pretty awesome. Well, if kids don't ever grow, there's going to be a problem. They're going to have to be taken to the doctor saying, what's going on? They're not growing. Same thing is true as a Christian. If you're not growing, it's because you lost your desire. You need to desire the sincere milk of the word. Don't try to get all this deep stuff sometimes. Just take the simplicity of the word of God. When you desire it, you're going to be sucking on the word. You're going to be sitting there when the pastor's preaching and it's going to be just, you're going to be drawing it out. It's like that baby bottle when he sticks it in his mouth, you know, he sucks that thing dry. See, and when you have a desire for the word, it's like I can remember in services, I'd be on the edge of my seat, and I knew what where the preacher was going. I knew what was going to happen next because I'd follow. I'd be into the flow because I was sucking on that bottle because I had a desire. Something happened in me where I fell in love with the Word. I became a Bible junkie. First of all, I got through Matthew, then Mark, then Luke, then John, then Acts, and Romans, and on to Corinthians. I became a Bible junkie. And I was miserable if I didn't get my Bible fix. But because I had to get my Bible fixed, the Bible fixed a lot of things in my life. Isn't that amazing? As newborn babes, that's what kind of desire you're supposed to have. Just pure, unadulterated desire. When the pastor wants to close the service too early and the baby didn't get enough milk, he goes, wah, he lets you know. But too many people who lost their desire, they're crying because you went too long. Not because you haven't gone long enough. It's really a different flow tonight. I'm telling you, this is really different for me. Go with me to James chapter 1. And before we read this verse, I want you to remember that faith comes by what? Hearing. Okay, let's read verse 18. James chapter 1. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, aren't you glad that God calls you his beloved? Let every man be swift to what? Faith comes by hearing. Be swift to hear. And slow to what? Do you realize that if people haven't spent enough time hearing, they shouldn't speak? Because what happens if you haven't spent enough time hearing and you speak, you're not speaking in faith. Because faith comes by what? Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. How many need or want something from God? Raise your hand. If you need or want something. Well, preacher, God doesn't take care of your wants, really. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. He's able to do exceeding above all that you could ask or think. Don't tell me God doesn't take care of your wants. He'll meet your wants too, not just your needs. Well, you don't need that. No, but I want it and God will meet it. He'll take care of your wants sometimes. God's a good God. He's good. He's loving. He's kind. He's compassionate. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. So if you want something from God, if you need something from God, take some time to hear. Let your faith get fed so that when you speak, now this is going to come out wrong, but I'm just going to say it like that. You got to take time to build your faith up so that when you speak, your faith is strong, not weak. Too many times, I've seen it. People don't take the time to get into the Word. And it's not just about getting into the Word, but it's about doing the Word. And they go for something too quick. They haven't taken time to hear. And instead of hearing swiftly, they speak swiftly and hear slowly. And what happens is they don't get what they were expecting. And it destroys their faith. They're like, well, God didn't want me to have it. Or I guess it's not God's will. Well, if you'd have taken time to find out what God's will is, you'd know what his will is. Let's go back to John 4. And we'll go back to the nobleman's son. I want you to notice in verse 47 that just because the nobleman requested that Jesus should come, he didn't come right away, did he? Matter of fact, that could have been a point of discouragement for the nobleman's son. How many times do we come to God and say, God, I want it this way? Well, who are you to tell God how he should get it to you? Do you know how many times years ago as a Christian, when I would need money, I would pray and I would hope that someone would come and give me money. But you know what happened? A job came available. And I had to work. That's how God did it for me. Whenever I had a need, I would pray and extra work would come available. I'm like, God, can't you do it another way? No, that's the way you need, boy. Let God choose the way how he wants to get what you need to you. Some people think that if I could just get so-and-so to lay hands on me, I'll be healed. Really? God just may want you to be healed another way. Just believe that he's the healer and leave it at that. And however God wants to heal you, it doesn't matter if it comes through laying on of hands, if it comes through worship, if it comes through a gift of the Holy Spirit, leave that up to God. Do you understand? In other words, don't tell God, okay, I need $100, so I want so-and-so to give me $100. It doesn't work that way. Then you're putting your faith in not in the Word. It's in whatever else. It's the way in which you want it to come. Now, this man, he might have gotten a little discouraged when he said, Jesus, come and heal my son. And Jesus said, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down before my child die. He knew that God could heal, but he didn't know that God could raise from the dead. Do you understand that? And Jesus said unto him, go your way, your son lives. See, he wanted Jesus to come. But Jesus showed him that Jesus could do it a different way and still get the job done. How many know God's got lots of ways? He's got more than one way. God is not a little God in a little box. I can only go this way. I can't go to the right or to the left. I can only go this way. God's got many ways. I mean, my goodness, he sent Elijah. He fed him by a raven. Elijah went to the Raven Diner for breakfast and for dinner. And he had to drink out of a brook. God didn't even give him a cup. But his need was met, wasn't it? And was that sufficient enough to take care of Elijah where he was? Absolutely. How did he get there? It was an instruction from the Lord. Well, God, that seems kind of strange. Yeah, because it's by faith, it's not by intellect. You know, God doesn't have to operate by logic. It's not logical to spit in someone's eye and cause them to see. It's not logical to say, stretch forth your hand when your hand is withered. It's not logical to tell someone who's crippled, rise and pick up your bed and walk. That's not logical, but it works for God. And that's where we get messed up sometimes. I'm almost finished. So what this man requested was done in a way that he didn't think it was possible. But look at verse 50. Jesus said unto him, go your way. And what did the man do? The man believed the word. Do you realize that in that moment, that man's faith was strengthened even in a greater way? He thought the only way that his son could be healed is if Jesus would come. He never even considered the possibility of Jesus just speaking a word. In that moment, that man's eyes was open to a greater degree of something becoming possible. So what did he do? He rested in the word that Jesus did, that Jesus said. Notice what happened. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Say, he went his way. He went, he walked away from Jesus knowing, he said, my son's living. My son's going to live. My son's left. My son is alive. My son is alive. And he got to the house and they said, your son is alive. He said, I knew it. But he had been saying that the whole way from Jesus to his house. He rested in the word. And just out of curiosity, he said, at which hour did his condition change? The seventh hour, he knew. Oh, that's exactly when Jesus spoke. So not only was his faith built, but his faith was confirmed. And do you realize he walked away not ashamed? He walked away having received of the power of the message. Your son lives. Three little words. But they were spoken with such authority and such power that he simply trusted in what was said and he went his way. He didn't say, but Jesus, I want you to come. I want you to come, Jesus. I want you to come. What you said is not sufficient. If he'd have reacted that way, his son would have been dead. But he had to put his trust in three words. And he did, and the Lord did, and the boy did. So, he hung in there. When he was about to get his miracle, not by the way that he thought it would come. How about you? Are you open enough for God to do something in your life by a way that you never knew? Did you know Isaiah 42:16 says, he'll lead the blind by a way that they know not. He'll lead them on paths that they have not been on. He'll make darkness light. He'll make crooked things straight. These things will he do, and he'll not forsake you. You know that that's one of the scriptures that I stood on for God to show me what he wanted to do with my life? I'm going to give you this testimony, and then I'm going to close. When I wanted to discover what God had for my life, I was working at a group home for developmentally disabled people. There was about 8 people in the home. It was maybe 20, 24 blocks from where I was living in my parents' house at the time. And often I would walk home and I would tell the Lord, I would say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to be, I'll be. That was my prayer. At the same point in time, I went and heard. I found scriptures that specifically talked on guidance, being led, direction. I memorized the ones that really stood out to me. They became a part of me. So I would say, Lord, I thank you that you make darkness light. I thank you that you make crooked things straight. I thank you that you lead me in ways that I do not know and paths that I have not been on. And as I did that, coupled with my prayer time, I felt God drop something into my heart. He went, the word rhema went clink, clunk, 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 clunk. Clunk. You know when you put a coin in, you hear it hit the bottom. Clunk. I can't really imitate a good coin machine, so. But you get the point. I took some time to hear what God's word says about guidance, direction, before I prayed. And then as I got those scriptures, I would meditate on them. I would pray those scriptures in the present tense. And lo and behold, God directed me exactly where to go, what the next step was. And then he confirmed it. I was in a service in my pastor had started four other churches in a 20-mile radius. And I felt led that I was supposed to go to one of our sister churches in a town called Princeton that was 20 miles away. And so I went and I hung out with one of my friends there. And the pastor had his father-in-law speak that day. And he spoke on peace. I went up for prayer. And someone came up to me. And he kind of just came up to me. He kind of tilted his head and he said, "You know what? You look like you're a candidate for Rhema." And I had already started the process. And I busted out laughing. I laughed because God was just simply confirming what I had already acted on. And the rest is history. I'm here today talking before this wonderful group of people because you can operate by faith, but you got to do it. There's power in the message, but in order to get that message, the power to you, you got to believe. Amen? God wants you whole. God wants you healed. There was never a sick person that was turned away from the Lord when they came to him. There was never a person that had a need that when they came to Jesus did not get that need met. Not one. So be that person. Be that person that comes to Jesus and get what you need. Father, right now, I just release that precious anointing. Lord, I thank you that you are helping people right now to believe, to put their trust in you. Father, to lean solely on the Word of God. Father, I thank you that you're going to increase this group's faith, Lord, and they're going to do great and mighty exploits in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.